I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Cardinals lineup is out. Here's the batting order that the Padres are going to try to hit. Did I say that out loud? Here's the batting order that the Cardinals are going to have against Padres pitching. Brendan Donovan will lead off and play second base. Ivan Herrera is the DH batting second. Alec Burleson in left field. He'll bat third. Wilson Contreras is the cleanup hitter. He's at first base. Nolan Arenado is at third base batting fifth. Mason Wynn, the shortstop, bats sixth. Jordan Walker, he's been swinging it, I think, pretty well. From what I can tell, he's the right fielder batting seventh. Pedro Pajes behind the plate bats eighth. And Victor Scott II is the center fielder batting ninth today. Donovan, Herrera, Burleson, Contreras, Arenado, Wynn, Walker, Pajes, and Scott. This Padres team has some serious firepower. Fernando Tatis Jr. leads off and plays right field. Luis Arraez is the first baseman batting second. Manny Machado plays third base, bats third. Jackson Merrill, the center fielder, is the cleanup hitter. Xander Bogaerts is the DH batting fifth. Gavin Sheets is the left fielder batting sixth. Jake Cronenworth, the second baseman, bats seventh. Jose Iglesias is the shortstop batting eighth. And Elias Diaz is the catcher batting ninth. Tatis, Arraez, Machado, Merrill, Bogaerts, Sheets, Cronenworth, Iglesias, and Diaz. The pitching matchup, McGreevy against Kolek. Cardinals and Padres at 1:15, 12:20 for the pregame. The Cardinals trying to win 3 out of 4 in this series. They're 2.5 out of the final wildcard spot in the National League. John Mozeliak will be joining us at 11:30 coming up here on the show to talk about the trade deadline. Let's get you updated on the trades that have already happened. The Yankees busy again yesterday. They acquired Ahmed Rosario from the Nationals. This was a day after they picked up Ryan McMahon from the Rockies, their talented third baseman. So the Yankees pick up two infielders, Rosario and McMahon. Rosario from the Nationals for a pair of prospects, and McMahon from the Rockies for a pair of prospects. One of them is Griffin Herring, left-handed pitcher, 1.71 ERA, 102 strikeouts in 89 and a third innings at single A and high A this season. And that's an interesting prospect, but, you know, two couple of low-level A prospects for Ryan McMahon. And Rosario comes over from the Nationals. Randall Grichuk, our old buddy, is going to the Kansas City Royals from the Diamondbacks for right-handed pitcher Andrew Hoffman. The Royals need some offense. Their outfielders are hitting a combined 218. So they go and get Grichuk, who's 33. He has 7 home runs, 22 RBIs, hitting 243. They're going to try to get a little lightning out of him. Hoffman is a pitcher, made his MLB debut May 30th. 55 strikeouts in 40 innings with AAA Omaha. He goes over to the D-backs, and Grichuk goes to the Royals. Diamondbacks are sellers, so everyone's wondering where Eugenio Suarez is going to go. Not going to go to the Yankees. They picked up Ryan McMahon instead of Suarez. Some of the other deals, Mets picked up lefty Gregory Soto from the Orioles for a couple of prospects. Mariners acquired Josh Naylor, the first baseman from the Diamondbacks, for a couple of prospects as well. The Cardinals, we'll keep an eye on that. The coverage of the Hall of Fame induction, MLB Network has that. Looks like that starts at 1:30, but I think their coverage starts at 12:30. And again, big class, Ichiro, along with CC Sabathia, Billy Wagner, Dick Allen, Dave Parker. What a group that is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So sad that Dave Parker passed away just weeks before his induction, but it is a big one. If you're a racing fan, it's a good day for you as well. A couple of big races today. The Brickyard 400 is running at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, NASCAR Cup race on TNT. Their coverage begins at 1 o'clock today. Chase Briscoe, the Indiana native, is on the pole for that one. And Alex Palou is on the pole for the 2 o'clock Fox broadcast of the Grand Prix of Monterey. IndyCar is running and NASCAR Cup running at the same time today. So Fox will have IndyCar and TNT will have NASCAR. Caitlin Clark's on national TV today as Indiana at Chicago on ABC. That one is a 2 o'clock tip. And the Hall of Fame induction ceremony is the headliner of baseball, but Sunday night baseball is the Mets at the Giants on ESPN at 6 o'clock. We have Cardinal baseball, again, 1:15, 12:20 pregame, the Cardinals and the San Diego Padres. We also have Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director for City. He is coming up at 11:15. We'll talk to him about last night's game at Energizer Park and just his overall feelings about the team. A week ago, if you recall, he jumped on this show and he said, I'm just going to tell it to you how I feel. He said the way they played after they gave up the first goal to Dallas was disgraceful and embarrassing. And he said, you know, don't just sit there in the room like a little mouse. Go up there, go out there and fight. And he was pretty strong in his criticism of that team. Be curious to hear what he thought this time around. They were great at the start. First half was phenomenal, and then they just lost another game. They end up not getting any points out of it. That's the way it's gone this year for St. Louis City SC. 11:30, John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, with us, as he always is, whenever he can. Last week he was traveling and was unable to join us. He was up in the air, so it's good to have him back with us. And then at 11:45, as always, Bernie Miklas. Big 11 o'clock hour, sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We'll take a break. Lutz is on deck on KMOX. Joined now by the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. It was good to see him last night. Lutz Vandensteel joins us on KMOX. Good morning, Lutz.
Good morning, Tom.
It was nice seeing you. I'm sorry that it ended that way. It was such an incredible first half, I thought, dominating, in fact. It was nice to be part of the broadcast team, and I thought I was bringing the good luck and the good fortune. But in the end, it was another loss as things got away from City in the second half. Before we get into the particulars, just your overview of the match, if you would.
Yeah, it's always good to see you yesterday. Very similar impression, what you just said. I think the first half was really good. It looked, and I think we were talking after the game, it looked probably one of our best halves we played all season. You know, we had a complete domination. We had lots of chances. I think we had over 70% of possession, close to 80% at one point. But we knew that also that Minnesota is one of these teams. They do sit back, they wait, and they always have the quality to hurt you. And, yeah, I think, you know, the chances were there. We should have been halftime probably 2-0 up or 3-0 up, which would have been completely different. And then the second half, I think we were a bit too passive. We didn't really come out from the changing room, from the lockers, and had that aggression and that counter-pressing moments, which we had in the first half, where we won basically every ball back very high up and immediately can put on the pressure. And then it had to be two penalties, not very clever defended penalties, to be honest. Yeah, and I think with the red card for Chris Durkin, which, you know, I mean, him being out for so long, coming on, and within 10 minutes getting this red card, that's tough for him as well, to be honest. And then with 10 men against 11 in that heat, lots of players on the field who just recently came back. So we knew that you know, we have to make a good number of changes. Yeah, it was definitely, you know, disappointing, but I really think we, looking at the performance, we deserve much more than walking off the pitch yesterday and it was nothing.
I agree with you. Durkin with the red card, you're right. I mean, that's a tough one because you hadn't seen him in a while. He walks onto the pitch and 10 minutes later he's out, but it's the call you have to make. You pull somebody's shoulder when they don't get an opportunity to score. It's got to happen. That's unfortunate. And then Calvin Yeboah does what he does. He scores on Berkey, and he ended up scoring again. The 2-1 loss, but I go back to what you said in that first half. Like, as exciting as Sangbin Jeong is, and he is.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You know, I'm sure he would have liked to have finished that chance. And Klaus and Pompeo, there were a lot of opportunities there to get it done, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, talking about Sangbin, but also I think you have to talk about Devin Pedelford. Both boys came on from Minnesota. I thought they did really well. You know, it looked very good. Also, Devin defensively going forward on the left wing, really gelling well with Celio Pompeu. And Sangbin, we knew exactly, you know, what his way of playing is. I would say that very clearly, that I think he fits very, very much more to our playing style than he fitted with Minnesota, which is more deep and playing without wide players as a back five. Now, the way we are set up in our normal 4-2-3-1, him being a wide player, you know, he has that pace, he has the speed, he has the one-on-one skills to always be dangerous. And I think that helps us along in the long term. It helps us being more dangerous, and especially long balls, diagonal balls, also long balls from Roman Bürki. That's a player who can really be the end of that and be dangerous. And his work rate, I think you saw that, the work rate against the ball, the amount of runs, the amount of sprints he had also defensively is really good. So both of the new guys, really promising. I think that's something we really need to look forward to the next few weeks. And this afternoon, Falafel will arrive in the United States as well. So that's another one which we really desperately need for, to have one more center back, especially at left footed center back. So he will be available for selection against Aston Villa on Wednesday. And then obviously also for the next game against Nashville.
Well, that's good because Nashville has some scorers, don't they? They can put the ball in the net.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. You know, I think it's a good way now for us against Aston Villa to have everybody on the field, to give everybody minutes. Same what Aston Villa will do. It's a great opportunity to play against an international top team. But we still obviously need to focus on our domestic league most importantly. And this is an opportunity to get the three new guys on the field to get used to each other in a more competitive mode than just training. And Nashville, they're doing well. They're flying. You know, a team which nobody really had on the list to be up that high this season. But they're performing brilliantly. They can score. They have Hani Mukhtar, an absolute brilliant player in midfield. And yeah, it's just a very good squad, and they're proving week in, week out that they are one of the team to watch for to go all the way this year.
It was so exciting in that first half, and then the second half disappointment. But what was it on Minnesota's side? Why did they look so overmatched early? I know you're not going to speak for Minnesota, but just your observations. Why did they look overmatched, and then did they apply pressure on you in the second half as well?
You know, Minnesota is one of these teams. They are, how do I describe it the best way? They are, for me, the most effective team in the league. As you saw, they are very intelligent of slowing it down when Boxall slowly walks up and then he launches these long throw-ins into the box. That every time they get a throw-in in the other opponent's half, a minute goes by. So they're playing that kind of football. And yeah, it's not always the prettiest football to watch, but it's very successful. And I think that's, end of the day, you want to win football games. So that's what they do all season. You know, they have a good counter-attacking footballers. You managed Kelvin Yeboah. You know, that's a player. Don't give him any chances. He will score it. They're very well organized. And I think they don't really care if the other team have a lot of possession. They don't care if the other team is all over them because they're very comfortable defending. I have with St. Clair also a good goalkeeper. And if they go into halftime being one goal down, then you never can write them off. And that's happened. They put Holomane on in the second half. They put Lod on. Both were not 100% fit, but that's potential starters as well. And then they just got better. But I don't think that was just purely Minnesota. It was us again, I think, getting scared of winning a game and just being more passive and being more worried about, oh, we are 1-0 up, what's happening next? And I think that is what we have to work on in the next few weeks, to be comfortable enough to actually keep on doing what we're doing, to keep the pressure on the opponent team and, to be honest, to kill the game. That's our biggest weakness this year, that we are playing a good first half, we are 1-0 up or 2-1 up, or it's still 0-0. Are we having enough chances to really put that game to bed? And we're missing that moment, and then we get punished. And a clever team like Minnesota showed it yesterday. Two set pieces, two penalties, two individual mistakes by us, which the referee was both times right. That's two clear penalties. And the game was over. And, yeah, I think that's the moral of the story this weekend.
They had no corner kicks. That's unreal. You had 10 and they had none. I was trying to identify players that kind of have that attitude or that fight that you're describing, and maybe you would agree with me on this, but one player that stands out to me is Konrad Vollem. I like him. I think he's tough, and I think he had a good performance last night. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk a bit about individual performances, you know, I don't think there was many bad individual performances yesterday, but Konrad, you know, he's a very high-intense player. You know, he's young, he's quick, he works hard in both sides of the field. Unfortunately, got a yellow card. He's missing the next game against Nashville, same as Chris. So we have two guys out again, this time through suspensions. But, yeah, I really liked what Konrad did. I also thought that Thomas Ostrog was fantastic yesterday. You know, his work rate also being crafty there in midfield, going backwards, winning balls, moving very quickly forward. It was impressive. Edu, I think Edu Levin had a good game. Honestly, I think it was overall, I can't pick out now anybody who completely had a good game, a bad game, or didn't perform up to the level. And exactly what we said last week, that last week I hardly saw anybody who had performed up to the level what he can do. Yesterday the players had good performances, but we just could not really keep that performance up for 90 minutes. And, you know, again, in 2 days' time, nobody looks at it anymore, because the only thing which people will remember is another loss, and the good performance disappears. But that's in the public. Internally, we know that we had some good moments and something positive to build on. And that's, I think, what is really important, to move forward now into the Villa game, where we can try things and have a weekend off and really have 2 good weeks of training to get the 3 new guys integrated, to see if there is anything else we can maybe do on the transfer market. Not sure about that yet. And then really have 10 more games, focus on that. Still try to win as many games as possible, but also already looking forward for 2026, where we have to make adjustments, how the player's doing, and use that time smartly.
Yeah, you told us you were going to be active in the transfer market, transfer window, and you weren't kidding. After criticizing the team on Sunday, got after it, added a couple of players that were really good yesterday for City. I look forward to this matchup against Aston Villa. I think that's a neat opportunity against a Premier League team, and we look forward to your next visit as well. And then, as you said, a little time off, August 9th against Nashville will be a big one at Energizer Park. Thanks so much for the time, Lou. It's great to see you last night.
Thanks so much, Tom. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. We'll take a break. We'll check in with the man in charge of the Cardinals transfer window, and that would be the trade deadline in 4 days. That's John Mozeliak. He's with us next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
As always, it's a pleasure to bring in the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Cardinals taking on the Padres this afternoon. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Always good to talk to you. I may go sit in the seats today, get myself a popcorn and watch things unfold. This is really heated between these two teams. And you know what? There's an entertainment factor there. I know you'd rather not have that, but these teams are not loving each other at the moment, it appears.
Yeah, definitely some tension. I think, like, you know, look, in Contreras' case, he's been hit a lot this year. And I think just a little frustration there and then a little tick for tack, I suppose. But, look, playing a little better baseball this weekend, which is good to see. And, hopefully we can take advantage of that today, get back in that win column, and feel good about where we're going as we approach this trade deadline.
Yeah, there are a lot of things at play here. One, you're looking to see as a team, as you have all year, what this team is going to look like in 26 and beyond, who's going to be playing where and how they look. But also, how much does this affect the deadline when they start to win, when they drop back? Has it been a fluid situation for you?
That's one way of putting it. Obviously it's delicate. We're still trying to find a way to remain competitive, to try to get ourselves into October, to take the roll of the dice and see where it ends. But in the meantime, you know, you're on the calendar, you're on the clock. And what that means is if we don't make any decisions with our roster prior to the 5 o'clock Central on July 31st, then there's nothing left we can do. And, you know, obviously we're in a unique situation. We have some talented arms that people are interested in. And I think we owe it to the organization. We owe it to our fan base to at least listen, explore, and see what that might look like. And, you know, those are never fun things to do. You'd like to be on the other end where you're looking to add, but maybe there might be some version of addition by subtraction as we go through this.
Has it been mostly arms? I mean, I never ask about players, as people know. You and I don't talk about that. It's been the policy. But is it mostly pitching? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, most people going into the trading deadline are focused on arms. And the reason being is because you're trying to make that final push in the last 2 months to play for a third month. And so that's usually where you start to see teams, players hit fatigue moments, and it's just good to replenish. And, you know, my time of being on the buyer side, you're always looking for pitching. That's just the name of the game. Now, when you look at our everyday club, as far as position players, we don't have anybody really on expiring contracts. So there's no real push to try to move one of our position players. It's not to say people aren't calling about them, but I think trading deadline trades for players that have controllable years is much more difficult than the expiring contract model. But, you know, like, we have 5 days left. We met this morning with my team and we, you know, talked through some things, and we just want to remind ourselves we got a lot of time left in this, because, as you know, trading deadline usually comes down to that final hour with lots of things going on. But, you know, if we're able to accomplish something before that, we're not going to let the clock dictate that we wouldn't.
I definitely understand that. I get asked this a lot, so I'll have you answer it so that I can get it right and answer people. They want to know how involved Chaim Bloom is at the deadline. I know that you're the president of baseball operations. Can you describe the collaboration with Chaim when it comes to this?
Yeah, I would just say he's part of the team. You know, the way we have it set up is everybody has a voice in what we do, and he's one of those voices. And, you know, there are some things where if it was dramatically a very black and white issue, that's going to affect the future. Obviously, I would loop him in to a different level than just the voice. But at this point, you know, the collaboration of the group is pretty equally divided. And, you know, it's my responsibility just to manage it.
You designated Eric Fetty for assignment. Just eventually that string came to an end as Michael McGreevy joins the rotation. Just let us in on that final decision.
Yeah, obviously I was trying to figure out a way if we could get Fetty back to when we acquired him. You know, pitched really well last year. Early on in the season was, you know, a positive contributor to our rotation, but the last month has just been very difficult. And, you know, when you're trying to win games and you find yourself down 2-0, 3-0 early in a game, it can be very disheartening. And so, you know, ultimately just we couldn't get it going, and obviously he'll have a couple months to try to reset himself somewhere else.
McGreevy is certainly a bright spot of the 2025 season, shows a lot of promise. Any other pitching in the minor leagues that is getting you excited for the future?
Well, I mean, obviously we had a very strong draft, so we're excited about those arms. I think, you know, as we look to next year, Quinn Matthews is starting to get himself back on track, which is good to see. I think a lot of these guys have emerged as really good-looking bullpen arms in the sense of Fernandez, Graceffo, Swanson. And so I think as you look at 26 and beyond, I mean, there's a lot of horsepower in that bullpen, and I think that'll be a strength of the franchise moving forward.
There was a question on Twitter about J.J. Weatherholt, about his ability, and if J.J. is forcing your hand at all at the deadline. Would that entice you to trade a lefty bat because you know you have J.J. coming? I'd say this, J.J.'s been unreal. I mean, it has been fun to watch him.
Yeah, he's doing exactly what you'd hope he'd be doing. He's swinging the bat well, having a very productive transition to AAA, which is exciting to see. And in terms of how that affects the deadline, again, I think position players that have years of control, these are sometimes much easier to address in the off season than during the trading deadline. But, you know, look, as I said earlier, there's 5 days left. If somebody wants to make us rethink something, then we've certainly have the ability and be able to be nimble enough to make that if we have to.
Always great to catch up with you. Have a great day today, and I'll probably be over there catching the Cards Padres. Looking forward to it. Thank you for the visit.
All right, enjoy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Good to talk to John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Busy man getting ready for the trade deadline, which is 4 days away. We'll break down the deadline with Bernie Miklas on the way in just a few minutes. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Our visits with Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Hello, Bernie. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom Ackerman. Trying to monitor these this wild card race in the National League and wondering, other than the top teams in it, like the Cubs and the Mets, the Phillies, whatever, does anybody else want that third spot? No, I'm serious, dude.
I mean,
they're all terrible.
Do you think the Cardinals really have a shot at a wild card?
All right. This is something I'm going to raise my hand and say that I was negligent, or I have been negligent about taking something into consideration, which is, okay, number one, we're KMOX. This is St. Louis. I work for STL Sports Central. So obviously 75, 80, 85% of our attention is going to be paid on the Cardinals. And it's like, well, gosh, they did this bad. Boy, what a terrible road trip. My gosh, starting pitching's falling apart. My gosh, the offense is hit or miss, all or nothing. And so we tend – let me just say me. I'm not going to put anybody else in this. I tend to focus on the stuff that's going wrong for the Cardinals, and a lot is sort of going the wrong direction, right? But it just occurred to me, like watching the Padres and then doing some homework. You know, can I throw a couple of things at you?
Yeah, please.
The Padres were 12 games over 500 on May the 14th, right? That was the second best team winning percentage in the National League. Since then, they are 29-34. They've got the 10th best record in the National League. They're on a 2-4 road trip. They're 11-12 since June 29th. Their offense is just awful. I mean, there's like very little power. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. In their last 63 games, they've averaged 4 runs a game, which is below league average, and they don't hit home runs at all. All right, let's switch to the Giants. Now, granted, by the way, the Padres have a winning record. I get that. But we're talking about, if I'm going to sit here and say, well, the Cardinals are trending in the wrong direction, well, the other teams are too. Like San Francisco Giants, they're 54-51. Okay. They were 12 games over 500 on June the 13th. They've been 13-22 since then. And since they got Rafael Devers, they're 13-20 since getting him into the lineup. And he hasn't done anything, really. And they're another team that does not hit home runs. They also have, the Giants also have, only 3 healthy starting pitchers right now. They're going to use a bullpen game today, and then they're going to rush up some guy from the minors to start tomorrow. Okay, let's talk. The only team that's going well among the ones that are in the hunt for the third wild card spot, the Reds. They have been up and down all season, but they have won 9 out of their last 13, and they have pitched very, very well, and they've averaged 5 runs a game. My point is, we can talk about the Cardinals' concerns, problems, et cetera, because those things are legitimate. But they have a chance only because the teams that they're fighting with are having big-time problems of their own. But, you know, this leads us to the number one question. Okay, well, you know, what does Jaume Mazalek do? I mean, they have a chance because these other teams are letting them stay in this thing. But I still don't know what Mo will think. And by the way, the Marlins come into town tomorrow for 3, and as you know, the Marlins are the hottest team in the National League this side of Milwaukee. So it's not like this is going to be a rollover series.
Right.
It's interesting.
I mean, all of these things. Yeah, I mean, the Rockies handed it to the Cardinals, for crying out loud. The Pirates shut them out in 3 games, and then the Cardinals, of course, take the first 2 against the Padres. They've handled some other teams. You know what got my attention was how the Yankees have fallen 6.5 behind the Blue Jays in the East. They lose Aaron Judge. They're 8 games over 500. I mean, they're a losing streak away from being close to the Cardinals record, for goodness sakes. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. But yet when the Athletic releases their power rankings, which they do each Monday or so, they'll still have the Yankees ahead of Toronto. Oh, but there's no bias, is there, right?
It's unreal.
Well, Toronto, that's a team up in Canada. They can't be better than the Yankees, right? Oh my gosh.
Oh, the Yankees.
You wonder why people think we in the media are goofballs.
The thing about the Cardinals is, and of course I want the Cardinals to do well. Of course I'd love for them to make a run. It's entertaining. It's great for us. It's great for our radio station. But with the rotation the way that it's been, I can't see it. They would have to really lock it down. And McGreevy would have to be a huge part of that, which is possible, I guess. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, and let me just update a stat that I've been, going with, because it's the thing that underlines what you're saying, because we're talking about the last 50 games. That's not like the last 20 games or 10 games. The last 50 games, the Cardinals starting pitching ERA 5.72 is the worst in the major leagues.
Oof. I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, it's 5.72. So here's the deal. Sonny Gray has not been himself, and I'm sorry, for them to really make a run at this, and I agree with you totally. If you're starting pitch, first of all, we know the Cardinals have a really, really, really good bullpen. By the way, this just didn't start in July. This has been a really good bullpen since the end of April. Really good. Like top 3. Top 5. So the Cardinals can, if they keep the relievers they have, and I'm not saying, well, they should or they shouldn't at this point, but if they do keep the relievers they have, you can count on the bullpen being strong. The Cardinals offense is, it's just, you never know what's going to show up from night to night. But one thing I've learned, and this is hardly any kind of revelation, all these years of covering ball, if you have good starting pitching, it'll cover up a lot of your weaknesses. It really will, because run prevention is huge. So if you're starting pitching solid, if it's decent, your bullpen's really good, and you can win a lot of games. Your defense is really good. You can win a lot of games just through run prevention. But for that to happen, and can I call something up real quick?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm doing it on the fly, but I like to have good info for y'all. Here are the starting pitching ERAs since May the 30th. That's, in other words, that's the last 50 games. Sonny Gray, 4.64. He's got to be a lot better than that. Libitor, I thought he was okay last night, but bottom line, since May 30th, his starting pitching ERA is 5.76. Polante, 5.77. Michaelis, nice game the other night, but an ERA of 6.17 since May 30th. And then you have McGreevy, and I'm not really counting him in there because he's only made like three starts since then. So, but he's going to have to step up big. But that, boy, it's a lot of pressure to put on him. Like, all of a sudden, he's got to be sort of like their number two starter. I mean, that's not fair to the guy. But, Sonny Gray, and my purpose here isn't to dog out Sonny Gray, but he's making $25 million this year, and he just needs to do better. It's as simple as that. He absolutely has to do better.
He does. What did you think of John Mozeliak? I don't know if you had a chance to hear what he had to say. Here's a comment from Bill saying, interesting comments from Mo when you asked twice about existing position players, specifically left-handed bats. He didn't squash it, so I would say they are definitely listening. I agree. He said they're listening. They're going to listen to offers. But he said, Bernie, this is mainly arms. They're getting calls about their arms. I think we know who those names are. And moving on from there.
It's been my policy that they should listen to offers on anybody, everybody. And it's not that I'm saying, well, they need to move this guy. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying players that we recognize in St. Louis are pretty good players, like Brendan Donovan. I'm not saying trade Donovan. I'm saying, if there's so much interest in a Brendan Donovan that's been reported elsewhere, well, then you got to listen to the offers. That's all. You're in the position the Cardinals are in, you're going to just say, no, I don't even want to talk about that. No, they're not going to do that. So there's a lot of guys that might draw some interest closer to the deadlines. There's a lot of people looking for outfield bats, middle infielders. So I think they ought to put everything on the table, and then we could have a case-by-case discussion, which we don't have time to do today, about, does it make sense to trade player A or player B? That's another conversation for another time. But the other thing is, we don't know what's being offered. It all depends on the offer. But I think John Mozeliak ought to be, as creative as he wants to get and think outside the box, or trade a major league player for a major league player. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do this. But yeah, if we all had to bet our $2, we're focusing on all of those relief pitchers. And it's not just Maton and Helsley and Mats. It's also JoJo Romero, who's been absolutely phenomenal since late April.
I also get this one a lot, and this is Tommy Cross says, Mo can't be a part of the trade deadline. He's a lame duck president of baseball operations. Bloom should be solely in charge of it, in my opinion, says Tommy Cross. Mo's answer on Heim's involvement is he is part of the team. Therefore, these are team meetings that they're having about the deadline.
I got mixed feelings on this because I don't want to be a phony. If I had to say, boy, I wish it was this way, I would say, okay, Heim Bloom has learned enough about the Cardinals because, this is his second year of studying the Cardinals. He was here most of all of last season. He's been here all offseason plus all of this regular season. So my point is, and I'm not trying to demean him or anybody else, but the point is, how long do you need to study the Cardinals before you can sit in there and say, okay, we're going to make this trade. That's a great offer. Let's take it. He didn't show up like 2 weeks ago, right? So in some ways, Tom, a friend of mine asked me, said, have you ever seen anything like this in St. Louis? And my answer is no. Where you have the guy who's on the way out and who has not been, the thing has not gone well for him in recent years. But he's on the way out, and this is one of the more critical deadlines they've ever had in modern Cardinals time, during the DeWitt era, I should say. And yet he's the one, technically, he's the boss, and he has all the authority. But the guy that's going to take over and also take over this roster and the problems that come with it, he doesn't have the authority. Now, when I said I have mixed feelings about this, let me throw in part two, because I believe this. There are two sides to this. I trust that John Mozeliak won't just have Heim Bloom on the team or part of the loop. I think if Heim Bloom will be forthright about an opinion, so, Mo, I really don't like that. Here's why. Mm-hmm. I think Mo will respect his opinion. I don't think he's going to dismiss his opinion and kind of blow him off. I think they have a really good relationship, but it's still a very awkward situation.
It is. I remember Doug Armstrong was the GM in waiting for Larry Plough. I just can't remember how involved Army was.
But
he was very involved.
He made the Halak trade.
Yeah, he did.
Even though technically he wasn't yet the general manager, but he made that deal.
That was his first deal.
Right.
And it was 2 years after they had announced that he was going to take over for Larry. But yes, it was that was a big deal, and I remember it well. And by the way, that that transition turned out really good.
It did.
As it turned out. Bernie, Andrew wants to know, can we make the playoffs? That's up on Facebook. I think we just went through that, Andrew. God love you. I think it's a long shot, but it's possible.
Well, if the other teams continue to roll around and flop, the ones that they're chasing for this third wild card spot, well, yeah, anything's possible. However, that's just one part of it. The Cardinals are very fortunate that the Giants and the Padres have let them hang around, and the fact that the Reds are ahead of the Cardinals, and we don't trust the Reds yet, but they do have Tito Francona managing them, and it looks like it's coming together. So number one is what the other teams are going to do, right? Number two, though, even if Mo keeps the team he has in place, and I'm not saying he will, but even if he does, right? This is a team that's got a losing record going back to late May. It's a team that has the worst starting pitching ERA in the majors since late May. So it's one thing for me to talk about, well, the Giants have done terribly. You know, the Padres have done terribly. You know, the Reds are kind of up and down and all over the place. So the Cardinals can do this. Well, the Cardinals can do this in theory, but not if they play the way they have been playing over the last couple, 2 to 2.5 months. You know, that they have not been a good team. That's a fact.
Always good to visit with Bernie Miklas. It's a Sunday morning. We can't do the show without Bernie. We love these final segments. Have a great rest of your day, buddy. Enjoy the game.
And we'll chat. We'll be together again on the Guest House Gang on Tuesday.
Yes, sir. That was a good one last week. That was a good one last week.
Everybody, Bernie, take care.
Have a good great one. Sunday. Bernie Miklas with us, Sports on a Sunday Morning. Cardinal baseball comes up next.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.